Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Well, I've got a little story for you. Let's take two girls drowning in the same icy river 10 years apart. Are the deaths connected in other ways, perhaps? We're going to be talking about that. Hey, does it sound like the beginning of a good book? I can tell you it is a very good book, and we're going to hear about that book from our guest, the author, Tim Johnston. He is the author of the New York Times bestseller, Descent. He's also written the young adult novel, Never So Green, and the story collection, Irish Girl. He's the winner of the Catherine Ann Porter Prize in short fiction. He's won a lot of awards for his work. His latest book, and it's a dandy, it's titled The Current. So we'll talk with him about the book, and of course, we invite your questions and comments as we move along today. Perhaps you've read his earlier books, his other books. Maybe you have some questions about those, maybe some questions about this book, maybe questions about writing in general. I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Tim Johnston with us by phone. Tim, thanks for taking time to be with us today. Really appreciate it. Well, let's see. Are we getting Tim here? Tim, are you? Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now we can hear you, Tim. Thanks for Thanks for being with us. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I tell you what, I have a friend who has written several best-selling nonfiction books, and he wanted to turn his attention to writing fiction. And so I was talking with him the other day about it, and I handed him a copy of your book, The Current, as an example of what really good fiction
that's kind of you.
is all about. I said, read this book carefully and look how his treatment of dialogue and his treatment of characters and the descriptors he uses. Mm-hmm. It's just a wonderful book, and thank you for writing it.
Well, thank you. That means a lot to me.
As I was thinking about the book, I was thinking about another writer, Jonathan Evason. Do you know him?
Sure. Yeah, we're actually published by the same publisher.
I know you are.
Oh, okay.
I interviewed him about a year ago about when Lawn Boy came out, and I was thinking about him in relation to you in some ways because he was a bartender, he was a caretaker, he was a car salesman, telemarketer. You weren't all of those things, but you were a carpenter.
Yeah, I was. And I was some of those things, too. I think that kind of goes along with the territory. If you don't come out of graduate school or writing school or whatever and jump right into teaching, you've got to go out there and make a living. And I sure respect anybody who keeps writing and has to make a living by some means like telemarketing or carpentry. But that's what I did. Yep, I did that for most of my adult life.
And but you never stopped writing.
No, that's the key. That's the key. You got to find the time, whether it's in the morning before you go to your job or at night. I'm a morning person, so I would get up early and work for a few hours. And then as a carpenter, there's a lot of times when there is no work. You're just you're just twiddling your thumbs, and if you're not sitting around panicking about money, then that's a good time to get some writing done.
Well, you certainly hit it big with a number of your books. Descent was a bestseller. David Sedaris, I think, gave you a big a bit of help, I think, with one of your books.
Yes, yeah, with the short story collection.
Yeah.
He certainly did. That was a really generous boost. David Sedaris, if people don't know this, if they haven't seen him in person, and I'm pretty sure he still does this, but whenever he goes on tour, he always has a book that he recommends to people that's not his book, and the book is always available for sale at his events. And it just so happened that 2010, he picked my short story collection, Irish Girl, to be the book that he recommended to audiences. So that was terrific boost and a lot of fun.
Yeah, it had to be a lot of fun. Well, The Current It is a wonderful book. Give it for those of us, for our listeners, give us kind of the basic plot of The Current.
Sure. It involves two young women who set off for Minnesota in the dead of winter from their sort of southern university, kind of in the Memphis area, Tennessee. And they're trying to get to Minnesota, but before they get there, because one of the young women's father is sick, but before they get there, they're driven off the road basically into a frozen river. One of them lives and one of them does not. The surviving girl, when she arrives at the Minnesota small town, she becomes involved in a similar kind of accident, not accident, death that happened 10 years earlier to another young woman who drowned in the same river. And as you send it in your setup, there's unexpected connections between the two deaths, and that's the main driving force of the novel.
Yeah, it's a wonderful novel. Some people call it a thriller, and there are certainly... well, let me ask you, do you consider it a thriller?
Well, I don't not consider it a thriller. I don't fight the designation. I know that, Descent found a pretty good-sized audience of people who love thrillers and crime stories and mysteries and suspense novels, and this certainly is in kind of the same ballpark of Descent in terms of plot and audience. But to be honest, I don't really set out to write, what I would call a thriller or a suspense or a crime novel. There are those elements, and I know those elements are going to be there, but I really, my whole background was kind of in literary writing. I got my MFA. I grew up in Iowa City, next to the Iowa Writers Workshop, and went to my undergraduate here. So all my sort of training and thinking is kind of in literary storytelling, not to be too snobby sounding about it, but somewhere along the line, I've come to understand and embraced, certain compelling plot elements where people are in harm's way and random violence happens and there's mystery and confusion. And then I really love to play up those elements. But it begins with me with, strong character-driven storytelling.
Yeah, and that is really apparent in your book, The Current. Carolyn emailed to say that your first novel, Descent, not the type of book she normally reads. She says she's sort of a literary snob, but this is an excellent suspense book with all the elements that she looks for in a book: character development, plot, and good writing. And she's recommended it to her friends. And I think all those elements are present in The Current.
Well, thank you. And I love to hear that. And I thank Carolyn for saying so. It's always does me good to hear people commenting on all the elements that are firing.
Well, it's kind of hard to... I don't want to give away a whole lot about... about the
spoilers.
I don't want to do any spoilers, so we'll tiptoe around some of this, but it's essentially there are some pretty thrilling moments in this book that'll make your hair stand on end a little bit, but the character development is what really attracted me, what I really appreciate about the book, because you reveal so much about all of the characters in the book, and you get to know those characters, I think, pretty well. And your dialogue is so authentic. It feels like, as I was reading some of the dialogue, I could really picture the conversation taking place in my head far better than in many books that I have read. And the dialogue is so authentic. Do you study conversations? How do you approach something like that?
That's a good question. I wouldn't say that I study them, but I think over time you develop an ear for them, as you would as a musician. I think that I don't like take notes when people are talking, but when somebody says something that's very interesting to me, a certain way of expressing it, I do notice it. You know, and I do notice the rhythms of conversation. But mainly when I'm writing, I think it's just years of practice, you know. It's years of honing your skills and your ear for how people really talk. And I know a lot of writers who will read their books out loud and maybe even have people, I've heard of people just creating dialogue by talking out a scene with somebody and say, oh, that's how that would go. That's how they would say that. This all goes on in my head, my own little private, you know, skull. And I really don't read out loud. I don't do that. I don't recommend one way or the other, but I don't seem to have to. I can sort of just hear it. If I'm really stuck on something, it just doesn't seem to be coming out naturally. I will sort of act it out. I'll say it out loud, but that doesn't happen very rarely.
Oh, man. Well, you, your essay, I read your essay, Blue Ink.
Mm-hmm.
And so before I read the book, and it's a wonderful essay. Maybe talk about that essay and then how it might relate to the book.
That essay relates a story from my nefarious middle school days when I was prone to not being where I was supposed to be and often finding myself in the principal's office. But in a nutshell, I was dared into playing around with a fire alarm one day while I was cutting class with a friend of mine. And the alarm actually went off in my hand, and we ran like bats out of heck to get out of the school and get around the corner and get away. And later in the day, I was just goofing off in another class. I mean, we'd sort of gotten away, I thought, in free and clear. And I was goofing off in another class, and I got a hold of the teacher's ink pad. And because I was this kind of kid, I started putting ink all over my hands. And by about fifth period, I got called up to the principal's office, and I knew him pretty well, and he knew me. And he took a look at my hands and said, "Where's this blue ink come from?" And I said, "Well, it came from Mrs. P's ink class or art class where I got a hold of her ink pad." And he said, "Well, did you know that a school fire alarm shoots out blue ink when it's pulled?" And I said, "I did not know that." And I suddenly understood what I was doing in his office. And so the thrust of the story is that I was basically compelled to confess based on entirely circumstantial evidence that had nothing to do with the crime itself. But I felt like I had been caught, and I knew I'd done it, and here was the blue ink on my hands, even though it wasn't the right blue ink. So how this relates to the novel is that it's hard to know. There's no real truth in crime and jurisprudence sometimes. There's only evidence. And sometimes that evidence is compelling enough to convict somebody or to coerce confession or what have you. But it doesn't mean there's absolute truth and there's absolute knowledge of what actually happened. And that's the connection I was trying to make between my little tale of juvenile delinquency and, you know, more serious crimes in the real world or in fiction.
And sometimes things, well, I'll tell you what, I'll get to my question in just a second. I want to remind everybody here that we are talking today with author Tim Johnston. His first New York Times bestseller was Descent. I'm predicting this will be another New York Times bestseller, his latest book, which will be out. Well, I've read it. But, Tim, when does it come out?
January 22nd, next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday. You'll be able to buy it in the bookstores. It's called The Current. Probably can't get a copy yet, though, can you, Tim?
Well, in these cases, you can only pre-order it or order it, as the case may be. And there's no one's supposed to sell it before its due date. But for the really dedicated person, I suppose there's eBay copies out there because, you know, there's an advanced reader copy that went out to a lot of booksellers and reviewers. And so those copies are out there. I don't recommend it because I want you to read the finished copy, which is much much more finished than the advanced reader copy.
Yeah. Well, the book is called The Current, and I hope you'll join in with your questions for Tim Johnston. What questions do you have about writing, perhaps? What about his earlier books? Questions? Have you read those books? Or maybe questions about writing itself? You can give a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us, like Carolyn did a little earlier. The email address is ideas@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Tyler Ditter, our engineer today. Jill Nadeau, our producer on the Ideas Network. Talking with Tim Johnston, author of The Current, a new novel. A wonderful new novel. I have not read The Descent or Descent. I will be purchasing a copy of that book. That was his first New York Times bestseller. I expect this one is going to also be a New York Times bestseller. It's a wonderfully written book. Some folks call it a thriller, but it's also a wonderful study, a character study of a small community. And when things happen in a small community, how it affects the lives of those people. Give a call with your questions or comments, experiences, maybe about writing as well, at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. The title, did you choose it? And what does it mean to you?
I did choose it. It occurred to me pretty early on in the writing of the novel, unlike Descent, where we had many titles and we chose that one at the very last second. This one became more and more obvious as the imagery of the river that flows through the book, so to speak, and its importance to the characters began to become more than just setting, and took on a kind of thematic tone or thematic meaning in my mind, having to do with the currents of lives, the currents of time, sort of flowing back on itself and repeating itself, and also just in terms of process. I knew I had two sort of currents of story, so to speak, and my process or my challenge as a writer was, how do I make these two currents flow into one? Because I started with a story that was 10 years ago, and then I inserted a new story in the present with these two young women on a road trip, and so all these things sort of combined to point me toward what I felt was a pretty obvious and meaningful title choice.
Yeah, I think I would certainly agree with that. And so in the book itself, you kind of go back and forth in the book. Is that a difficult process to do? I explain what I'm talking about here. You go to things that happened earlier, the 10 years earlier, and some of that, and then you're back to the present, so to speak. Is that a difficult way to write?
Well, it could be. It's not really how I do it. The process works for me. I really kind of wrote about the past as a unit.
Yeah.
You know, it's actually sort of based on a short story that is in my collection, Irish Girl, called Water. And so that story was kind of already in place in terms of the plot of that story. What happens, the characters who are in this small town, small Minnesota town, that particular crime. So the challenge as I wrote the new material was to keep that story in mind, but not like try to insert it along the way. So I essentially wrote the new story as if it were a standalone story, you know, and then I began, after I'd had a good chunk of that story under the belt, I began to fold one story into the other and go back in time. And it is a challenge to make it make sense, to not confuse the reader when you're in the past and when you're in the present. And in that sense, it can be a challenge. But I think having that other story already set made writing of the news story more interesting and more fun for me and easier to do.
Yeah, I wondered about that. I thought, gee, if I was writing this book, I'd probably write... I'd probably do it the way you did it, as a matter of fact. Probably the only way you could reasonably do it.
Well, it's the same, it's similar as to having multiple points of view characters, which this novel does, and which Descent did. And rather than trying in the, you know, in the drafting, rather than trying to go from one person to the next, I would spend a long time with just one character and write that character story out for 100 or 200 pages or whatever, and then write the next character story out. And then when you're getting ready to, you know, when you've gotten all that down, you can start chopping them up and doing that sort of alternating point of view structure, which I like to do.
Yeah, it's a wonderful approach. Well, your first novel came out, Descent. It's been optioned for a film, too.
Yes, it has. It was optioned pretty early on, and it's still optioned. We're glad to have the option, but we're not holding our breath. It's a very fickle business.
You're not the first author I've talked to who is in that same position.
And we could talk in 10 years, and it might still be option.
But it took. Oh. But there was 4 years was there between the two, between Descent and your new book, The Current?
Yes. Yep. Blistering speed. I seem to be someone who needs a lot of time to sort of clear the decks between one book and make room for the new one. So my publisher won't want to hear that, and I'm not saying it's the case, but it certainly was the case between those two books.
Yeah, it was. Let's give our listeners a chance to join in. You can call in with your questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. So 4 years of work. I mean, do you do other things while you're working on a book?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's my big excuse. I'm working as a carpenter for, you know, some of those years, and then I started... Well, actually, between the publication of Descent and this one, I was teaching at the University of Memphis.
Yeah.
And that was pretty time-consuming. I know people can write and teach simultaneously. I didn't have a very easy time doing it. So when I got the chance to, when I was under contract to write the new book, The Current, I asked for a year off from teaching. And they gave it to me. They were happy to give it to me, and I was happy to take it. But then after a few months of living the sweet life of just being a writer, I realized I really didn't want to... I didn't think I would be able to finish the book in a year, and I didn't really want to have to be conflicted with teaching and writing. So I just basically made the split permanent, and that's what I've been doing ever since. So in that sense, this book was written a lot... more speedily than Descent was written, which I worked on for about 6 or 7 years while I was a carpenter.
Oh, all right. Well, let's go to Lee. Take a call from Lee in Mequon and see what's on Lee's mind here. Lee, hello. Right. Thanks for calling.
Hi there. Hi, this is Lee.
Yeah, what?
I wanted to thank the author. That book, Descent, was so good. I don't normally call in, but... I just wanted to thank you for it.
Thank you. Thanks for reading.
Yeah. I don't know. When I read it, I thought, this is perfect for a movie if somebody doesn't pick it up. But if I had a question, I'd say, was this kidnapping based on kind of a true story? Because I thought I remember a runner who had been kidnapped some years ago.
I think someone else reminded me of a story along those lines, but I honestly can't say that I was conscious of any particular real-life story when I began that. I became conscious of a lot of stories after I began it. I started, you know, it just seemed to be in the culture a lot more once I started writing that book. I was just more aware of it, and there's been so many stories ever since. There was a story just recently here in Iowa where a young woman was out running, and she was grabbed, and that did not turn out well. And So there's been a lot of stories that sound like this story, but I did not have one particular one in mind when I began it.
Yeah. We've sort of had an experience like that right here in Wisconsin in recent months that it has turned out for the better, Jamie Kloss.
Yes, yes. A lot of people have sort of checked in with me and said how similar this story sounded to Descent.
Oh, man.
But with a happy ending, thank God.
Yeah, thank God for that. Very much appreciate it. And Lee, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Does it help? Well, obviously it must help if you get a book like Descent out and it sells the way it did, which is pretty darn good. The opportunity then to write another novel has got to be a lot easier in some ways, but maybe it's harder too. I mean, how do you top? It must be intimidating to follow a bestseller like that with another book.
Well, there's your answer why it took 4 years right there. I don't want to do this. It is. It's a complicated thing. In a sense, you can't think about topping it. And Descent has its own sort of unique kind of place in my own kind of history and in the writing, you know, in the book world, where it hit a certain chord at a certain time and has a certain kind of hook, and you really can't repeat that kind of magic, you know, that particularly with that hook. You can't write another, I can't anyway, I can't come back and write another story about a girl, young woman who's abducted and, you know, will she live or not?
Yeah.
So you just kind of have to put that aside and go with a story that moves you and compels you and you believe in. And, you know, you throw in the kinds of things that you like to explore, like crime and justice and those suspenseful elements and random violence against innocent people. And you just hope for the best. I know it's a different kind of book, you know, and some people might find it less compelling, or some people might find it more complex or what have you. But I think of it as a different kind of animal, even though I think they are in a similar ballpark.
Yeah, I'm hoping that the Descent I'm hoping it's as good as The Current. I'm reading it sort of backwards and forwards here, but once I finish this one, I know I've got to get a copy of Descent to read it. And do you compare them at all? I mean, are you as happy with The Current as you were with Descent?
Well, Descent was a surprise to me, I have to say. You know, I didn't have particular expectations about it. I spent a long time sort of writing it in my dungeon of creativity or what have you, and I didn't know how it would be received by the world, if anyone would like it, if anyone would even buy it or publish it. So everything that happened with that book was a great surprise to me. And I since then I began to think, well, yeah, that's a pretty good, I understand why people, you know, why it got on New York Times bestseller and all that. I think it's, you know, a pretty good novel. So when I finished The Current, I know that I've written kind of a different kind of book, and all those uncertainties kind of happen all over again. And I don't know if it's as good or better, if it's, you know, I can't really make that comparison, but I probably will have a better idea in a year or two.
Well, you're going to have a busy, time. They've got you on, I was counting up, I thought I had something like 28 appearances that you've got over the next couple of months, some here in Wisconsin, which I'm going to mention. I would definitely want people to know where you're going to be here in the state, but far-flung quarters of the country here a little bit.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty intense. We kick off right here in my hometown of Iowa City on January 22nd, and then I take off that next morning for Minneapolis, and I'll see you again when I'm in Wisconsin, I guess, and later in the month.
Yeah, we've got you. I'll give those in just a minute. I think you're in Oconomowoc. And mm-hmm. And you're in Milwaukee. You don't make it to Madison, where I'm located. You're on January 27th at 3 p.m. at Books & Company in Oconomowoc. And then on the 28th, and the very next day, you're in Boswell Books in Milwaukee at 7 p.m. So that's Sunday the 27th and then Monday the 28th at 7 p.m. So people can see you and talk to you. Is that a kind of a fun process for you, by the way?
Yeah, it is. It's the best. It's the best. You know, after all this time spent hunkered down and working on your own, and you get to go out and meet the people who actually read your book and make all the difference, and the booksellers. And it's just, you know, everybody's a book lover wherever you go. You're in the best possible world, and you get to travel around and see a little bit of these cities. And the best thing is to hear, like, the caller who called in, Lee, you know, those questions are the most fun, you know. And a lot of times I learn a lot about what I've done from what readers have seen for themselves, and which I didn't give a lot of, you know, thought to. But now that they mention it, it's like, yeah, that's pretty smart of me to do that.
Well, let's go back to the book itself again, just here in our last few minutes. You've got the opening chapter, which is really something. There's an accident. A car winds up on a river, and then talk a little bit more about where the book goes from there.
Sure. As I mentioned earlier, the two young women are sort of forced from the road. Not really sure how that, no one's really sure quite who does that or how that happens, but there's a pretty good idea how that happens. And one of them lives and one of them does not. And the young lady who survives is next confronted with dealing with the loss of her friend, but soon after that she has to deal with the loss of her father, who is the sheriff who was in charge of the crime 10 years ago that was unsolved. And so there's a lot of sort of unfinished business in his heart. And as he sees the sort of connection between what he was not able to solve 10 years ago and this crime that's happened to his daughter, he becomes involved in the story. And I'm giving a little bit of a spoiler here, but when he doesn't survive, she becomes more involved in that older story that he was never able to solve. And so that's how the two stories become intertwined.
Yeah, it's a great, and there are so many, I don't know, there's probably, I'm trying to think in my head here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, probably 8 or 9 main characters, I guess you could say, in the book, somewhere around there. And they're all very well, I mean, we learn a lot about those people as we read through them and get to either care for or not care for some of those people as the book unfolds. And it's just a wonderful treatment. And the whole concept of the small town and a small community and where everybody kind of knows everybody, you may have drawn a little from previous experiences on that kind of aspect of it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the funny thing about this setting, this Minnesota town, is that it's entirely imaginary. I didn't ever go on some sort of research drive up there. I've been to Minnesota plenty of times, but I didn't go up and hang out in a town and research it, which I kind of did for Descent. I was living up in a small town in the Rocky Mountains when I started writing that, and that was sort of my natural setting. But I kind of just thought, well, I know Northern Iowa, and I know sort of Southern Minnesota, and I can kind of make this up. And if I don't give too many specific details, then I won't hear from readers who say, well, I think you kind of screwed up that part, or that street really doesn't go there, and, which actually happened to me in dissent. I used a few street names, and people who knew the area very well were like, no, it doesn't really work. Even though I have a pretty specific place in mind, it's never named, and I will never name it. But people are free to sort of sleuth it out.
Well, seeing as how you took 4 years between those two major novels, I hesitate to even ask you if you're working on anything else right now.
Don't hesitate. It's fun. It's a lot of people have asked and will ask, and the answer is I am. I don't know how long it will take. I will not be rushed, and I'll get back to you on that. But yeah, I don't like to talk about works in project. Okay. Works in progress, except to say there's a work in progress, and we'll leave it at that.
Well, that's probably a good place to leave it, except you have to promise me you'll come back and talk with me when that one comes out.
Oh, I promise. It'd be a pleasure.
Tim, it has been a great pleasure to talk with you. You have written a wonderful book. And
thank you.
I hope a million people at least get to read it. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Tim Johnston, our guest today. That's Johnston with there's a T in there. It's not just Johnson, it's Johnston. And his latest novel is called The Current. The Current. And it's published by Algonquin Books. And I can highly recommend it to you. I really enjoyed reading it. And I hope it does very, very well. Well, it was great to talk with him. And another guy who's always a lot of fun to talk with is Jack Socha. Jack is back with us today to talk about photography, as he often does. He's the author of some books on photography. How to Use the Digital Camera You Just Bought is one of his writings. And he's with us coming up next to talk about photography, the cameras, the shooting of composition, I guess I should say, in camera shooting, and a whole lot more. He's here to answer your questions next on the Ideas Network.